As promised, we're joined right now by a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Good friend of the program, too. Who's got an amazing piece up right now that I want to get into. Sam Amick is my guest. Sam, great to have you back. How are you?
Romy, doing great. Thanks for having me, sir.
Always good to have you, Sam. Thanks so much. And I mentioned a fascinating piece up right now in The Athletic about the Warriors and what they dealt with last year. Sam, before we get into it, let's go back to a comment that David West made after Golden State won at the end of last season. That was the moment where West said, in part, quote, "We're so tight, people don't even know what we went through. They trying to find out. Y'all got no clue. That tells you about this team that nothing came out," end quote. So at that time, Sam, what was your reaction to what he said?
So, I mean, obviously they wrapped up the championship in Cleveland. I remember vividly, you know, we left the Quicken Loans Arena, myself and a couple other reporters. We start seeing these quotes, you know, and they had kind of escaped us before we filed our stories for the night. So we were done. And I ended up hitting a few Warriors people, including their PR, head of PR, Ray Ritter, at the time. So the Warriors are celebrating at the Morton Steakhouse. They just won another chip. And at that moment, you know, the team response to David's comments was, that, oh, he's just screwing with you guys. And David was going around telling people with the team, like, oh, I was messing around. And we all kind of said, all right, but that's kind of strange. And obviously, the curiosity never went away in those following months. So it was just this weird thing where folks kept wondering what the heck he was talking about. And, and certainly now I think we know more than before.
Sam Amick joining us. So you do your thing. You keep digging, you keep reporting, and you're working on the story. And as you write, quote, "According to sources with knowledge of the situation, the Warriors dealt with a team-wide meningitis scare in mid-March. That was the root of West's infamous comments," end quote. So when you found out that that's what that was, what did you think? What was your reaction?
I mean, I was stunned, like David said we would be when we learned about it. It also hits you. It's just, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not expected, because I think we all had assumed that it was going to be basketball related. It was going to be something that happened with Kevin Durant or Draymond or one of the other guys. And I don't think it was something obscure like this is what we thought it was going to be. And then it was a strange reporting process, because honestly, Romy, like, I called David to get his perspective on this current team. And then it was the tail end of that conversation. We ended up talking two different times, when he ended up sharing that it was a serious health scare, but he didn't want to take it any farther. And, you know, and I ended up finding out through other means, but I was surprised, you know, and, you know, like I wrote, you had a guy in house who is still there and who thankfully is healthy. And this was life threatening for him. And, you know, who is, you know, part of the group that's serving food every single day. So it's close, intimate contact with the Warriors, with their players. And obviously, you know, from a human standpoint, this matters, but sports wise, you're looking at one of the best sports teams of all time, you know, having this kind of a threat. And, you know, they had to take a bunch of precautions. They had to sanitize the heck out of the practice facility. They had to, you know, kind of tear down the dining room where the players and the basketball operations staff ate every single day. They took vaccination shots, you know, majority of the players, other staff members. They moved practice one day over to Oracle Arena. And it's funny, because I've seen some of the reaction from fans has been an eye roll and a shrug, because folks like to hate on the Warriors so much. And anybody who has that reaction must not understand the seriousness of something like this version of meningitis. I mean, this was a pretty big deal.
Sam Amick joining us. Obviously, it's a very big deal. Sam, I think for people to say that, they obviously do not know what meningitis is. What is it, and what does it do to you?
Well, I mean, you have different forms, and it's, you know, full disclosure, the gentleman who went through this, and I understand he did not want to kind of interact or cooperate for the story, and I respect that. And kind of, we kept our distance, but, you know, bacterial is what we believe, you know, his version of this was. And that's where it gets really serious. I read a story the other day about a former Cal athlete, 21 years old. I forget the timing. It was last couple of years, who, you know, contracted it. And it was just an awful story. She was gone within 2 days, and this thing can hit you, and it doesn't get much more serious. Now, it's different from, you have viral meningitis. You know, DeMarcus Cousins ironically had that a few years ago when he was on the Kings, and that, you know, comes with its own symptoms, but it's not the same. And so, you know, it's nothing to be messed with. I do give the Warriors a lot of credit. By all accounts, they handled it very well. You know, Zaza Pachulia, you know, with the team last year, flat out said, you know, they couldn't have done a better job of keeping this thing from spreading, making sure everybody was safe. But certainly scary stuff.
Sam Amick joining us. You know, Sam, obviously these guys are used to getting hurt, and they understand the protocol that comes along with that, rest, rehab, therapy. This is not what that was. This is not what this is. What was the player's reaction when they learned about the scare?
You know, what's interesting is I keep learning a little bit more about the reaction and the part that's not in the story and that is tough to get at because we don't interact, you know, with players' families, is that I think there was more concern around the players. And, you know, this is one of those life situations that went beyond the locker room. And I think you know, I've heard some stuff about wives being very, very concerned and almost still being on edge. Like, it's the kind of thing that'll shake you and you just kind of hope it's definitely gone. The players themselves, I think it varied. Like, there was a lighthearted, you know, it's weird to have a comical quote in a story like this, but JaVale McGee, you know, I know you read the piece and he's got that line where he says, you know, I'm from the hood. Like, I'm not afraid of meningitis. And it's like, all right, it's JaVale being JaVale. So he's taking it in stride. You know, Zaza was a little more grave with his tone. You know, David certainly, you know, even though he wouldn't talk specifically about the meningitis, he did give his perspective on the serious health scare. He described it as something that affected all of them. And again, all you got to know is that a guy like D. West, who's about as real and kind of anti-dramatic as they come, you know, this is where his head was at when he said what he said. And then he did feel like it was something that had their heads spinning and had them worried.
Sam Amick joining us. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. This piece is up right now. I mean, Sam, it's one thing to deal with this. It's one thing to handle it. It's one thing to play with this kind of floating around. How in the world did we not find out about this until right now? I mean, like, what does that tell you about the team, the locker room, and the organization that none of this came out until right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is wild. Now, obviously, internally, they had meetings where they flat out said, let's not talk to the press about this. But, I mean, my goodness, once you have wives involved, once you have, you know, kids and uncles and aunts and whoever else might have heard, it's very surprising, you know, agents and people like that, like, that it didn't get out. And even people in the media, you know, who I work with and respect every single day, in talking to them after the story came out, I've yet to run into anybody who got a whiff of it at all. And I didn't get a whiff of it, you know, at all until talking to David. And so that part's shocking, you know, and even they're trying to see it through. You know, the Warriors declined to comment for the story, and Bob Myers in particular, their GM, you know, I was told that the reason that he did not want to give me a quote or talk to me about the piece was because he had vowed to his players to not talk about this situation, and he doesn't want his players reading a quote in a story now, even though, you know, the story was coming out anyway. So Steph Curry did the same thing. You know, the team's on a long road trip, so I wasn't around the team, but I did attempt to get, you know, some reaction from Steph, and, you know, and he declined. He didn't want to. He just said, no, let's just let him write the story, and we're going to move on. So it's pretty wild in today's day and age that they kept it quiet.
All right, so winning 3 titles in 4 years is pretty impressive in and of itself, regardless of what's going on with that roster. How much more impressive is it when you're dealing with a meningitis scare late in the 4th season of that run?
It's very impressive. The timeline to me is also what struck me about the story because, you know, listen, this would have been concerning no matter the timing. But if it was in November, December, you know, it just would have been a different story because anybody who remembers that portion of the Warriors season remembers that was when they started showing some vulnerability. They lost 10 out of 17 games. Steph had the ankle injury, comes back for one game against Atlanta, tweaks his MCL. Now he's out for another 16 games going into the playoffs. Klay Thompson breaks his thumb. David West had a cyst that kept him out 5 games. So they're battered and bruised. You know, even one of the guys I talked to for the story, Chris Boucher, who was on a 2-way contract at the time with the Warriors, he now plays for the Raptors. You know, he was only there because they needed bodies. You know, he'd come to practice, and even if he wasn't playing in games, you know, he was running with the champs because they needed live bodies. And so all the regular stuff that a team deals with was already at a pretty high level when it comes to injuries. And I think the personality stuff too. You know, you constantly heard stuff about how last season, and specifically around that time in February and March, these dudes got sick of playing with each other. And it's not necessarily personal, but like David said, he goes, man, I'm not in the league anymore, so I can say this more honestly. He's like, when you're the champs, you play a lot of meaningless basketball. And that's very hard to remain focused and to not let some of these daily type of things get under your skin and cause problems.
Sam Amick, my guest. All right, then one last thought, Sam, because Golden State is playing the Cavaliers tonight, and that game obviously has got a very different feel from how previous Warriors-Cavs matchups have felt the last few years. Now that the rivalry is over, what is your sense as to how the Warriors players felt about the Cavalier players?
Well, probably a lot of layers to a lot of nuance. I would recommend folks read a really good piece at our place. Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors, just killed it having like perspective from the Warriors looking back at the rivalry and how strange it is for them going into tonight. You know, Steph in particular just talked about how, man, you're talking about it was around 30 games they played each other the last couple of years. So a ton of memories. How do they see their guys? You know, I mean, I think universal respect for LeBron. Certainly, even Kyrie being in Boston now, you know, universal respect for the part that Kyrie played in there. But then it gets a little, maybe a little trickier. The Tristan Thompson relationship, a little more friction, a little more, you know, probably a little less respect, I think. You know, I think that the Warriors, we always kind of overlook the fact that these dudes are as competitive as they come. Even a guy like Steph, who puts on the kind of the angel face, you know, he's proud of the fact that they busted the Cavs up. And there's no other way to put it. Like, they did. You know, this was two Titan teams, you know, on a collision course year after year. And if the Cavs had found a way to go, you know, get on top of the Warriors, then this thing would have gone a different way. Maybe LeBron's still there. Maybe Kyrie's still there. But the Warriors are, you know, still doing their thing, still trying to build, keep this dynasty going, and Cleveland is in tank mode.
You're right. Steph is proud, and I know Clay is too. Otherwise, he wouldn't have busted them up as bums and idiots, which is awesome. And I'll get to later on in the program. You want to read this piece. It's a really interesting piece. It's up right now. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, good friend of the program too, Sam Amick. Sam, well done as always. Nice to have you back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Romy. Have a good one.
You too, Sam. Well done. So a meningitis scare. So, you know, if you're one of those people saying, what's the big deal? Who cares? Meningitis. And not like JaVale McGee, like, I'm from the hood, so therefore I'm not afraid of this. Put that aside for a minute. That's JaVale being JaVale. If you're a fan saying, who cares? What's the big deal? Then either you're here to hate or you just don't understand the nature of that disease.